for the man.
Too much for the man. He couldn't make it.
So he's leaving the life he's come to know. Ooh.
He said he's going.
He said he's going back to find.
Going back to find.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. What's left of his world? The world he left behind. Not so long ago. He's leaving.
Leaving.
On that midnight train to Georgia.
Leaving on the midnight train.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Said he's going back.
Going back
to a simpler place and time. Oh, yes.
Expanding two decades of business, entertainment, and government. It's Business This Week with Saul Mejia. Now, from the studios of Radio Zolan, KROJ 101.5, here is your host, Saul Mejia.
Hello, everybody, and good afternoon. Welcome back. Today, we got with us Smitty. Our guest today was born in Cincinnati, Ohio. He first received the entertainment bug from his older brother, Jim Smith, who used to be a bassist for Gladys Knight and the Pips.
Old school.
Throughout the Motown era. Wow. You know. Smitty formed Four Soul Sakes during high school, which won countless talent shows, including the opportunity to sing with Motown Records. It was between them and a new group called the Commodores.
I can see why.
Slightly, you guys kind of missed a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Smitty later went on to become the vocalist and rapper for The Game's Performers of Dreams, a song that which became number one hit for 8 weeks in a row. Later, he became the face of Franklin Clinton on the Grand Theft Auto V, the number one video game of all time in the Guinness Book of Records. He has performed over 800 clubs in Southern California, so if you haven't seen him perform, you're not very social. So he's been pretty much everywhere. He has performed with Dionne Warwick, Whitney's aunt, right?
Whitney's aunt.
So yeah, he has performed with Dionne Warwick, Nancy Wilson. Cameo. The Commodores.
Yes, you once, twice.
Three Dog Night. Jerry Lee Lewis. The Isley Brothers and Tony Ton.
And wow. A lot more, but we'll go from there.
Wow. He has played bass for Eric Burden.
When I think of all the good times that I've wasted having good times.
Whispers. Jimmy Messina. He got a chance to actually jam with Jimi Hendrix at the Brass Ring in Encino, California before he passed away. Wow, that must have been quite an experience.
Yeah, it was shocking when he walked in the room.
You're like, okay.
Very humbling.
I got this. I'm not going to get nervous. He's the founder of the United World Orchestra, 13 members from 7 different countries since 1979. He has sent for the children of the Emperor of Japan in 1987. He has sent for the Obama inauguration party at the Beverly Hills Hilton. And today he's also going to be talking to us about freedom on the other side of pain, the newest single that he's putting out, and we're going to be playing it quite often. We're going to be playing that more than once. I really was impressed when you sent me the file.
Thank you.
It was really, really great. And he also going to be talking to us today about his family, which they have a whole line of really talented people. It's my honor and my pleasure to welcome you today to Business This Week, Mr. Smitty. Thank you so much for being with us. And like he said, I out of respect, I address him as Mr. Smitty, but he wants to be called just Smitty, and he's just Smitty, you know.
So much easier to remember.
Yeah. Well, let's start from the beginning, Mr. Smitty. Smitty, I should say again. Let's start from the beginning. So what got you into music? You said it was your brother, but like for myself, like I said, I used to listen to music, and I started buying CDs at the age of 6. That's when I'm lying. Actually, back then I used to buy cassettes. I started buying cassettes at the age of 6, and I ended up collecting about 600 of them. But the music was always home since the day that I was born. Somebody was playing something in the background. So I knew music from the very, very beginning. So you say that it actually was your brother, Jim Smith, that got you into the little bug of music. But I'm out there to believe that it was actually before that. I think he's the one who
kind of
pushed
it here. At 5 years old.
Exactly.
But, you know, it was one of those things where when the relatives would come over and my mom would say, Ricky, sing. That's my nickname, Ricky. So, sing for your aunt, sing for your uncle, sing. Mom, I don't want to sing.
I said sing.
Okay.
Would you happen to remember which is the first song you ever sang?
Oh, you're going to trip, dude. Baby, let me be your little teddy bear.
Oh, wow.
Elvis Presley.
Baby, then let me be your little teddy bear. Put a chain around my neck.
Yeah, I love that teddy bear song, man. And my mom was like, okay, sing it. I sang it already. Sing it again.
I like it, so you're going to have to sing it again.
Yeah.
So, hey, listen, so after that, what makes you actually want to turn it into a career, to actually turn it into your passion?
Well, I would, at a young age, I would perform with my brother at his at clubs in on Van Nuys Boulevard in Pacoima. He had a group called the Del Rays, and one of the members was Al McKay, who later on went with Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Wow.
Yeah, so my brother would call me up, and, you know, this little kid would get up there, and all the women would freak out. But the thing that really got me was when I'm backstage, he's playing the sports arena, opening for James Brown.
Woo!
Wow! I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
And with Gladys Knight and the Pips. So I'm backstage watching these guys perform, you know, and do their steps and their choreography. And, you know, I'm just at awe. And then when my brother, when Gladys came on, my brother had me sit in the front row. Well, a couple of rows back. And I'm like, I'm looking around and I'm seeing thousands of people cheering, you know. And I'm thinking, wow, they're clapping for my brother. Who cares about Gladys?
I'm here for my brother.
Yeah, I'm looking at my brother playing bass, you know. So, but, you know, I said, I want this. This is what I want to do, you know. I was already singing. I just love that love that the audience gave to the performer. You know, and I wanted it, you know.
He's leaving on that midnight train to Georgia.
A lot of times the singer gets the credit, you know, the front face gets all the credit. But no. If you hear Michael Jackson, you got to give credit to Quincy Jones, you know.
Yeah.
People like Walter Afanasieff, you know, people like Diane Warren, you know. there's so many people behind it that they're the true geniuses. They're the people who compose the music. They're the people who wrote the lyrics.
Including the musicians, man.
Exactly.
Give props to everybody.
Exactly. I have bought albums because I like the musicians, because I actually like what they play. Right. And the voice could be terrible, and I'm not going to say any names because they'll probably eat me alive. But yeah, I know a couple of bands that they simply don't got talent. The singers don't got talent, but they have an amazing, you know, backup. But they have so many people behind them playing that it makes them look like, you know what, this is the end. And I think, yes, you gotta give credit to each of those people and realize one of my, I mentioned it, one of my cousins, she's a two-time Grammy winning artist, her name is Rebecca Valadez, and she used to do background vocals for Janet Jackson. And one of the things that Janet used to do, which we're gonna say hi to Janet Jackson, one of the things that she used to do that it got in my head and I thought it was pretty awesome, every time she would be either at the beginning, the middle, or at the end of the concert, she would give credit to the performers behind her. She would turn around and say, on the drums, we got, you know, on the bass, we got, and I thought it was pretty awesome because now you actually see some of those concerts and you can actually see her saying, you know, on the background vocals, Rebecca Valadez, and there's my cousin and she will bow and you're like, oh, wait a minute, yeah, that's her. So you know it was true. So I think it's pretty awesome when the artist is humble enough to respect that, to respect the artist, to respect the people behind him, to say this is... Go ahead.
Plus, I'm sorry. Plus, when you do that for the bands that are the people who are dancing behind you or singing behind you or playing behind you, it makes them want to play much better. Man, she gave me props. Let me show off now.
They put you in the spotlight. You better be good now.
Yeah, let me really show off now. So, yeah, we as musicians, we appreciate that when the artist gives you a shout out.
I mean, a lot of the songs, even in rap, let's say, I used to listen to Tupac. If you really listen to Tupac, I was one of the people that I want to know who was playing the bass. You know, when you listen to some of those songs, yes, he had great lyrics. Yes, he was good at what he does. But all the people behind it, when you listen to the bass, like when they play Dear Mama, the bass, I was like, that's the bass. You
that's know, why I became a bassist.
You know, you can really hear that. And it really blew my mind. You know, so some of the performers, they get the credit, but I believe, yes, there's so many people behind it that actually don't get enough credit. And sometimes we forget about that. So I'm glad that you're here. We're glad that we brought that up because, yes, I believe it's very important to for the people to understand that. It's like, please do give a credit to the proper people and understand that these are real performers and that they're real artists and they actually live out of it, you know, too. They actually got to feed their families and, you know, actually turn it into a way of living. And
I appreciate you doing that for us, man.
No. It's got to be done and somebody's got to say it. They really got to create credit. And we also got to question how they get paid. You know, a lot of times people forget. It's easier to nowadays. As an example, I tell people, I take pride of saying that I have a bunch of music on my computer. But like I was telling you, I end up broke. I think probably about a quarter of the money that I ever made in my life was buying albums. You know, but and I used to work at the music store, so it was even worse because they'll give us discounts. And oh boy, we would actually buy like crazy. So all the music that I have on my computer is not downloaded. It's not ripped off from somewhere. You know, I actually had the CD and I copied it. And now it's back on the computer, but I feel proud that at least enough to say, you know what, I actually bought the album, you know, from the store, and this is the way that you're supporting the artist. I take it as a sign of respect. If I actually like your music, I would buy your music. If I don't like your music, I'll probably just ignore you. But if I like your music, I think it's simply, I mean, people think it's expensive, but really, like $20 or like, you know, even $15, really, that's a lot to actually support the artist. When you see the work, what they put behind, the years of training, the years of practice, you know, all the work that they put, people feel like, come on, it's just that. No,
how many people they supported to come in that studio and they paid out of their pocket?
I used to represent a couple of artists, and one of them was the dancer. He's the one who pretty much showed me that. He started at the age of 5, and by the time I was representing him, he was only 13. And he used to have 2 jobs to pay for his shoes, to pay for his classes. The classes were $250 an hour for him to learn how to dance, and the shoes were about $100, and they would only last like 6 different performances, and he gotta get new shoes. And people don't understand that. He was actually washing cars. He was doing a car wash. He was actually going to people's houses and clean to be able to get a couple of bucks and buy the stuff that he needed. And then a couple of people will call me. I'm all for the community. I'm always 100% with the community. And when we do community events, my rule was, it's either nobody makes money or we all make money. You know, I don't care if it's $20, I don't care if it's $100, it's gonna be split among everybody. You know, and if nobody's making money, then nobody's making money, and we fully understand, you know, we're providing a service to the community. But even then, one of the things that we used to do, we get certificates from the senator, from the assembly member, from multiple places, and at least we'll get them a couple of certificates and maybe a certificate for a meal, you know, like get a lunch or something for the performers. But the reason why I brought it up, some of the other quote-unquote promoters, they will call me and say, hey, so do you think one of your friends can come over, you know, help us perform at this event? I'm like, sure. I start doing my homework and I realize that we're charging $500-$600 a table for some of the business to actually be at the event, and they didn't want to pay the performance. I'm like, so what does my performer get? He's like, oh, you know what? No, unfortunately, we're a nonprofit, or we're this and that. I'm like, yeah, but you're charging for each of those tables. And it's $600 a table. I'm not asking for a lot, but like one of them, they used to come all the way from Hawthorne. They used to drive all the way from Hawthorne. They used to come to the Valley. And then they didn't even want to give him an offer for a sandwich, you know, for a burger and a drink or something. And they were not getting recognition. So I said, you know what? No, unfortunately, no. I am in proud of the community. And if it's the community, I need to know that nobody's getting paid and nobody's getting charged. It's a community thing. And if there's any charge, everybody's got to get paid. You know, each of those performers deserve enough respect. And I've seen, you know, I actually attended some of their practices. You know, it takes time, it takes work, it takes money, it takes years, it takes a lot of other effort to actually become what they are. And people don't have enough respect for that. And it really bothers me. And I put them on the spot before, I actually said a couple of names on the spot before, because I get offended to say, you know what? No. These are people, these are human beings, this is a profession, this is really what they do. And we all love our community, and we all want to be able to volunteer, but also we need to, you know, respect enough. You shouldn't have to ask, as a performer, I don't think you should have to ask for money. I think you should come out from us as a community and say, hey, listen, how can we take care of you? What can we do for you? If I don't got the money, at least say, you know what, let me get you a certificate. Let me call my senator and say, you know what, we got one of the good guys up here doing something for us. We got to take care of those people. We got to find a way to actually at least say thank you properly, you know, for what they do for us as a community. So I've always been about that, and I'm still standing with that. And any day of the week, I'll highlight and represent the people who actually, you know, come through. I usually ask them to do something for us, just like you're here with us today. I usually ask them to do something for us. So guess what? You fell into our trap, and we want to say thank you so much, because, you know, you decided to actually show up and do this interview, because you actually showed up and decided to actually support, you know, what we try to do. This is a community radio station. A lot of people don't understand that, but that means no, we don't get a budget, and no, we are not allowed to have commercials. We're not allowed to actually charge for commercials, I should say. And so therefore, pretty much, we actually survive out of the volunteers and out of the people who support. I recently donated 200 CDs out of my own collection, you know, for the station, so that we actually can have decent music. One of the artists I'm gonna have in the future, his name is John Barnes. He's a jazz player. You've probably seen him around. But John Barnes, I respect him because the same thing. He's not at the Grammy level yet, but he actually is endorsed by Ferrari and by Monster Cable. And anyhow, he immediately picked up the phone and said, hey, Saul, you know, congratulations on the show. What can I do for you? And I said, you know what? Right now, we're accepting donations of any cities. He's like, okay, give me the address, and I'll send a couple of boxes, and I'll tell my friends about it to send you some other music, you know, so you guys can have a background. And let me know anything else that we can do. I'll contact some of the companies that perhaps can get involved. So I love people that really upfront. I never promised anything. I never said anything. I never said there will be a salary or anything like that. And they're ready to serve the community. Those are the people that I respond the other way around. Okay, I got you. And well, guess what I did this week? Exactly that. We were calling the senator's office. We were calling the assembly member's office. We were calling some other people. You know what? We got a few people that we would like to recognize. And we would like to say thank you for the support, and thank you for their time, and thank you for what they've done. We got to make it worth it for them. Anyhow, I'll be quiet for a minute,
nah,
because
man,
this is not just
cool,
about
dude.
Me.
You got a great soul, man. You've been blessed.
Well,
you really have.
I'll say it again. And I said it at the beginning, I'll repeat it again. You're looking at a mirror. just keep that in mind. If you like something, it's because you're looking at a mirror. It's people like you that really inspire. And I talk too much, so.
No, you did, man. I'm really proud of you, Saul. I'm really proud of you.
Well, my point was that we get inspired by people like you. We get inspired by people such as yourself. You're very humble. You're very down to earth. And you are an encyclopedia full of knowledge when it comes down to music, entertainment, when it comes down to experiences and life. I think you're a full encyclopedia. You're what one of my instructors used to say. You're a diamond in a rose. You know,
Aladdin.
People think they're seeing something beautiful, but it's beyond that. It's way beyond that, you know. And I think anybody who has the misfortune or judged by the looks, or somebody who judged by the colors, you know, anybody who judged by what they think they know, they're missing out on a million things. They're missing out on greater amazing things that, you know, and knowledge is power. I truly believe knowledge is power. So if you learn to analyze people, if you actually learn to listen to other people, you know, and hear their story, you might actually learn something from it. I always tell people I'm only 10% of the equation. The larger picture is the people around me. They're such an amazing people. They're so great, you know, that they have taught me, that they make me look like I know what I'm doing. It's never one person. It's never just one single person. There's always other people that made an impact and actually made a difference in each of our lives.
Now, if we could get the rest of the people out there that's doing all this crap, you know, from police officers to the actual protesters, if we can get them to sit down and talk to each other, a lot of this stuff would be eliminated.
Well, you know what? That's one of the things that I recently discovered, and I would say the past 10 years or so, we actually, one of the issues that we have is that a lot of people want to stand up for what they believe is right. They want to stand up for what's convenient to them, and they don't give even 10% to say, is this convenient for everybody else? Right. Is this convenient for the rest of the world? So I think when we used to live in a society where it was okay for you to be different, it was okay for you to live your own way. A lot of people say, no, that shouldn't be this way. And I say, you know what? If you want to be a racist, if you want to be a, you want to be a, you know, a Trump supporter, that's fine. If you're in, you know, Utah, I got family in Utah, and we know that's not the place for us. We know that's not where you should be. You know, there's certain places that I believe that's where they belong and they should have an area. I think one of the things that I love about the city of LA is it's so humongous. There's a space for everybody. You know, there's a place for Latinos, there's a place for African Americans, for Asians, for all of us. And if we only have enough love and respect for each other to understand, you don't cross that line and you respect other people's turf, you should be okay. And that's the way that I was raised, to say, you know what? But no, now everybody wants to take over everything. So, you know, so like they want to stand up for their own agenda, and the other guy, and they haven't been able to sit down and say, how can we come up with a solution for something that is actually better for everybody? Not for me, not for you, but for overall, for everybody. A lot of people, like, they used to criticize President Barack Obama because he supported the gays, because he supported this. I'm like, what he did, he set an example with his own personal life of what it should be, and then he did his job, which his job was to represent the people, not his personal interests, not his opinion, not what he believes in, not what he goes by, his job. And if you cannot do that, you don't belong in politics. You gotta be able to serve the people, not serve yourself. You gotta be able to serve the needs of the people. And if you disagree or you don't like what the people are asking for, then you need to step aside and let somebody else take over, because we are supposed to be representing the people.
Well, I always felt that if, you know, he wanted a wall so much, build a wall around him and his people and his like-minded humans, and leave us alone. You guys all go behind your wall in your little community, in your little bubble, and leave the rest of us alone so we can live in peace. This is insane what's going on out there.
Right. So for me, going back to that, I said, like, look, you have the right to have your own space,
right?
But respect other people's space, respect right. other people's opinions, and let them have it. You know, I don't mess with it. If you go to Chinatown, I'm not gonna complain about Chinese food. I'm not gonna complain about being too Asian for me, you know? It's Chinatown, we already know it. By the name, you should know. You go over there and you gotta smile and just, you know, you're a guest, you're a visitor. Practically, that's how I feel, you know, even though it's the same city. And I know where I stand, I know where I live, and I know my neighborhood. And yes, that's where I was picked. You see me, you want to talk about Panorama City? You know, yeah, that's my town. That's where I'll tell you how we live and how we act. But when I go to somebody else's town, I respect that enough. And I tell people, I respect you as long as you respect me. And I'll let you be as long as you let me be. And if we can do it, I think we can have a better life. But now, really, I think both parties are going so hard at what they want that they're not thinking about all the other people. And going back to your point, and they're not even considering the kids or the future generations. Is this really the best for them? Is this really for the general population to actually have a better future? And I think it's really sad that they're just simply too selfish, and all they're doing is looking at themselves and trying to...
Selfish.
They're just being selfish. I fully agree. So for me, that's one of the things that we need to kind of cool off a little bit and say, okay, let's do what's best for everybody and what's logical. Some other stuff, yes, I do believe it has to be stopped at once, you know, but some other stuff, we actually got to come as a community and be able to sit down. And one of the things that I love, as an example, you probably know I'm the president for the Panama City Chamber of Commerce. One of the things that I love about the chamber is that we are a very diverse, multicultural chamber. It's not a Hispanic chamber. We don't label it. It's just a chamber. And anybody who's a business, regardless of your background, regardless of where you come from, you're a business owner, we want to support you, we want to be part of that. So you have people from Egypt, you have Indians, you have people, you know, that are Hispanics, you got African Americans, you got multiple cultures being represented. And when we have a meeting, we all sit around the board, you know, around the table, and you can see each of those faces. And we don't talk about race, we don't talk about anything but business. All we talk about is business, and you're just the same as me. It don't matter the color skin, it don't matter what your religion is, it don't, none of that matters. What matters is, you know, how we can help each other, you know, to support our businesses.
Make your community grow.
Correct. And I think we need to emphasize a lot on that also as a community, to say, you know what, we're going to organize a cleanup. Why does it matter, you know, who's going to be in it? You just let them know what you need and what it needs to be done for the benefit of all. And some of the things are pretty logical. We all want clean streets, I hope. You know, we all want peace. We all want to, I'm against like the people who were doing the riots. No, I am in pro of the, like everybody else, the majority, they just don't say it. But I'm in pro of the marches, and I'm in pro of people, you know, raising their voice when something's wrong. But I do not agree, and I don't appreciate when they hit the small business in particular. You know, when they start breaking windows and start messing around with the small business. Some of the smaller business got hit, and for me it was really sad, because they were like a guy who fixes shoes. You're like, what are you gonna get out of that? How is that gonna make a difference at all if you actually just break his window? You know, and I don't think that's the proper way. I think there's other ways that we can actually address some of those issues, and it doesn't have to be impacted by the small business. I truly support the small business, and I also believe those small business should be out there, you know, talking and making a voice, and maybe put a poster on their window saying, you know, we support, you know, our community as well, you know. So I think we all gotta come together and actually plan it a little bit better in the future. So we already discussed how you started your career, and you said it was your brother. But then you actually, you expressed yourself that you were in a concert, you actually felt that, and you're like, you know what, I want this part of me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who was the first person that you would say actually gave you an opportunity to make that happen? They actually opened the doors for you?
Beside my brother? Wow. I had that one when I was backstage with James Brown. I was standing there, and when after Gladys went off, I came backstage, and James was performing, and I was singing one of his songs, and I think Bobby Bird or whatever, his announcer heard me, and he told James, "Hey, there's this kid back there singing, man. You got to bring him out on stage." So they escorted me out under the stage, and I'm like, again, all glossy-eyed, freaking out. And he said, "I heard you can sing, young man." And so he said, "Go ahead." So I did. "I feel good. I knew that I would now." Crowd went nuts. And then again, I'm like, oh man, I really want this. This is what I want to do.
I belong on stage.
I belong. Another thing that inspired me, because you said something about Hendrix. And I can't get the exact date because I'm old, but I know it's early in the 70s. And he was playing a forum. Well, my band was playing the Brass Ring, like I told you. And on the Troubadour and Encino. So we're jamming, you know. We're like the house band. I had a group called Trace, T-R-A-C-E. Another mixed group, different, diverse band. And we're jamming on stage, man, and all of a sudden the crowd goes nuts. And we're like, oh man, they really like us. And then
somebody else comes up on the stage
and he said, "My friend wants to jam with you guys, man." And I'm like, and I'm all cocky, "We don't jam with nobody." He says, "Oh, you would want to jam with this guy." So my guitar, Gary, said, "Man, let him play. So, okay, we're finishing our song, and then we see this brother in a hat. All we see is this hat go by, like a cowboy hat, walking, and the crowd screaming, man. It's like 300-400 people screaming. We still thinking it's them or us. And he walked by, and I'm looking around, and it's Hendrix, man. He walks up on stage, and I'm like, "Dude, I am so freaking sorry. I apologize. You just humbled me." I'm like bowing. He's like, "It's cool, man. It's cool. Let's jam, man." Wow. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm standing here next to Jimmy.
Well, sometimes that's what it takes to actually humble yourself. I made a couple of mistakes myself in the past. Regarding James Brown, I'll never be able to redeem myself, but one of the biggest mistakes that I ever made in my life is that I wanted to go to a James Brown concert. I hardly had any money. I think I had about 120 bucks, and the tickets were 90. So I got in line in Tower Records. You were able to buy through Ticketmaster, you were able to buy tickets at Tower. So I was in line, and there was only three more people before I got to the front of the line, and I said, no, I can't do this. I cannot spend 90 bucks on a ticket, and I walk away. Well, guess what? The week after, that's when he passed away. I never made it to the concert.
Dude.
And I was like, no!
Dude.
So yeah, you'll never be able to redeem yourself, and I felt horrible because I said, you know what? No, some other things has got to get done. And when you said about humbling yourself with Jimi Hendrix, I had something similar, which I'm going to say hi to Jimmy. He'll know who I'm talking about. Jimmy, he's the announcer for the Emmys. He's the voice for the Emmys. And they invited me, the SBA, they invited me to an award ceremony for the small business. I showed up to that. And then we were going through the red carpet, and I already had a pass. And then somebody grabbed me and said, like, oh, you want to take a picture with Jimmy? And Jimmy goes like, yeah, yeah, come on, take a picture, come on, come on. I'm like, no, you know what, it's fine. Don't worry about it, it's fine. You know, don't worry about it, it's fine. And I didn't take the picture at that specific moment. As soon as we took a seat, they start reading his biography, and he will make you feel like you're like this small. Because of the same reason, he's like, he does not need my attention. He does not need me to be saying no. He's one of those type of people, like you were saying. It's like, you're an idiot if you say no to him. You know, he's giving you an opportunity. He's giving you a chance to actually pose right next to you. And yes, I'll say it, too considerate, too uptight to actually admit that, you know what, simply I should have just go back and take the picture. And I did it. And I actually, afterwards, I got the chance to actually speak to him and apologize. And he was so humble, down to earth. And up to this day, he actually speaks to me. He's a very inspiring person. He has a humongous, humongous record as well. He's got a couple of Emmys, and he's been a presenter for so many, so many years and excels at the largest level. He's been with all pretty much any celebrity that you can think of. He's the guy who actually gets to hang out with them. So, wow. Anyhow, I felt what you're saying is not Jimi Hendrix, but I felt that, like, to say, you know what? Yes, I need to humble myself. I need to be a little bit more less big-headed, and we need to lower our heads once in a while and remind, you know, where we are. Don't let it get to your head. Don't be too.
We never stop growing up, man.
Never, definitely, never,
no
definitely.
No matter how old you are, my kids show me that all the time. With my kids, if I make a mistake, it's nothing for me to say, my bad, I'm sorry. You know, I grew up with parents that respected me as a young man. You know, that's how they taught me how to respect, because they respected my knowledge. What do you want to do? What do you want to be? And so if I told my dad, I want to sing, my dad would be the type, okay, then don't play around with it. Go sing. Don't lie to yourself. You want to do this? Wow. You do it well.
Wow.
So that's what I learned. It wasn't like, do what I say. You know, we had opinions. Of course, he put his foot in my butt if I messed up. But you know what I'm saying? We had opinions. We had thought.
Yeah.
And it helped me grow. And that's what I learned from my kids. My kids are very, I got 9 of them.
Whew.
Oh, yeah.
That'll keep you busy.
I got, yeah. But, They put me in my place all the time, man. I learned stuff about what's going on in their world, you know, and it's no big thing for me to ask them, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about what's going on outside? How do you feel? And they'll tell me it's wrong or right or whatever, what they experience. So it teaches me.
They'll put you up to date from
their
perspective.
Man. Yeah, and they teach me. If I say something stupid from my old school brain, they'll say, Dad, that's not
we,
right.
We don't say it like that
we
no
don't
more.
Do
we,
that
we don't
no
do that
more,
no
Dad.
More.
We don't wear platform shoes no
okay?
more. We're not wearing zoot suits and platform shoes no more, Dad. We're past that. So it makes you grow, brother. It makes you grow. Kids are really intelligent.
Well, I'm going to put a little pause right there, but at the same time, you mentioned your family, so I will give you a couple of minutes for you to tell us about a little bit of your family, which we're very proud of your son. I think it's a very short period of time, considering the time he has grown and he has excelled his career.
Justice? You know,
yes. I mean, that's really, really insane. And you also mentioned that you knew a couple of kids from Chris Cross, was it?
Oh, that's my cousin.
That's
Chris
insane.
Smith.
I grew up listening to that. I was about 16.
Yeah,
exactly, jump.
Baby. Yeah, that's
I was about 16.
Second cousin, I believe.
I still have the CD single up to this day.
Jump.
Yeah, I bought the CD single and I was like, what?
I didn't know about Chris Smith.
What? Like, no. So, yes, I thought that was pretty awesome. So I think you've done an amazing job as a family member. I think you've done a great job as a father as well, because obviously it speaks, you know, and you can tell it's all knowledge. You're full of knowledge. You're full of wisdom, I should say. More than knowledge, I think it's wisdom. And I think it reflects on the rest of the people that surround you and the people that you have around you. When I see your kids succeed, pretty much what I see is like, you know what, you succeeded. You've done a great job. So for me, what's more important to meet you than your family? But I think, yes, it's pretty awesome when they have somebody older that inspires them to say, man, you're the one who set them up. And, you know, they just follow, you know, their followers. They follow you, your path, you know, what you've done, what you try to do with your life. And I think that's the message that we got to send to the adults to really say it could really make an impact. And we don't really know what we're creating today. Whatever we do, whatever we live, it could actually make a big difference in somebody else's life, and definitely the kids, especially if they're that close. But I mean, those are your kids and those are your closer family, but you're changing generations because of what they did or because of what they're doing. They're changing other people's lives, and maybe by the millions. They don't even know. They got their own fan base, they got their own people that follow them, and it comes from above. So in my opinion, you know what, you got the elders, they're set the path, they follow, and now they have a following of other people. So you have changed, you probably don't even know, but you have probably changed thousands and thousands and thousands of lives simply by setting an example, you know, to others, by setting an example to the people near you. So thank you so much.
The kids, they'll tell you what they want from an early age. You know, a lot of parents make the mistake of saying, okay, I want my kids to be a dentist like me or a chiropractor like me. No, man. If you watch your children and one is sitting there drawing, go buy him some coloring pencils and some paint brushes. If they're sitting there singing or acting or watching TV and they're acting like what they see, get him acting classes. Let them develop the gift that God gave them. Mm-hmm. It may not be the gift that God gave you.
Correct.
It's their gift.
No, and also a lot of times, unfortunately, they go based upon their own limitations.
Yes.
Because they couldn't do something, or because they saw that it, from their perspective, that it was not possible, they pass that to the kids as well to say, oh no, don't dream about that.
Dad,
oh no, don't do that.
Mistake,
you know? Stop doing that. The kid want to say, I want to be a singer. No, get a real job.
Mistake,
you know?
Mistake.
I fully agree 100% with you. And yes, that's one of the reasons that's why I like to do what I do. Is precisely to inspire that. Yes, I was one of those kids. I came from a single mom. We were five brothers and one sister.
Bless
I came
her
from
heart.
A single mom. And all she had to do, my mom, you know how many times she's been to the movies? Twice. She's 73 and she's only been to the movies twice.
Wow.
She's never been drunk. She's never smoked. She's never done drugs. And she's never been to a major party, practically. When we talk about party, we talk about a family get together. Maybe 10 of us to cut a cake. But all she ever did is work. After this day, she has a 65-year career. She's a cosmetologist. 65 years she's been doing that. And that's all she had to do. So she just set an example, but she said, you know what? I'm going to make this sacrifice, and I'm going to do this for you, but it's for you to do something better.
Yes.
Don't do like I do. Don't stay like I do. I'm going to make the sacrifices. You're always going to have a meal. You're always going to have a roof, but do the rest on your own. Shoot for the
Bless
highest. That's why we're here. That's what I was saying. Again, this is the United States. This is California. This is LA. Anything is possible. And one of the elements that I always tell people, if you want to succeed in life, you got to be able to be humble, you got to be able to learn, and you got to be able to teach. If you have those three, anything's possible, you know, because you got to be able to be humble enough to listen to those who know better than you, and you got to be able to be humble enough to simply be nice to people. Be nice to people, you know, so learn. And learning, that means listening, that means be quiet and listen to what the other person has to say. But be humble, be nice to people, and that would open a lot of doors. A lot of doors in my life have opened because of that, simply by being nice to people. If you are pain, you know, if you're somebody complicated, if you're somebody who doesn't get along with other people, it don't matter how much talent you got, it don't matter how much you try, it's simply not gonna happen. Nobody wants to work with complicated people. Nobody wants to work with somebody who's gonna make it difficult to work
exactly.
around. And a lot of doors are gonna close. And if you're gonna do that, at least wait until you become Tom Cruise or something higher, you know? But before you get to that, be humble, be down to earth, and I think that can open a lot of doors for a lot of people. A lot of times I got hired simply because of that, simply because I was not the best and I was not the greatest. But you know what? You smile and you're nice to the other people that you work with. We'd rather have that in training you than to have somebody who already has the knowledge, but they think they know it all. So
you got a good soul, dude. I'm sitting here across from you and he's got a good soul, people.
And it's coming from someone who really knows soul, who actually knows what soul is all about.
Not just a good heart, you got a good soul. There's a big difference. Some people have heart, but they lost their soul a long time ago. You got a good soul and a good heart.
So what would be your advice to the youth?
To who?
To the youth. To the younger people.
Follow your heart. Follow your soul. Don't lie to yourself. The worst person and the hardest person to meet is you. To look in the mirror and say, you know, I screwed up. You know, I'm going to do something. Meet yourself. Talk to yourself. I'm not saying go stand on a corner but meet yourself and don't lie to yourself.
Well, I always tell people, it's okay to talk to yourself as long as you don't get into an argument. Yeah. And then you lose the argument.
Put yourself in the head.
And then you lose the argument. Make sure that you get along with yourself.
No, but, you know, just, I tell the kids, man, just, if what you want to do, do it. Don't lie to you. Don't play games with it. And don't look for the easy way out. I got to go get mine. I got to go rob somebody. Screw that, man. It ain't about that. That ain't good. That'll give you satisfaction for right now. But in the end, you're going to be miserable because you always have that guilt in the back of your head that you did. You hurt someone else. Don't do that. Go make a name for yourself. And you, to me, I'm spiritual, so I don't know about your listeners.
Amen.
But God gave every individual a gift. All of us. Like I said, even if you're just doodling on a piece of paper, but you can be the most amazing artist. It's in your soul and you know it. That's why I'm saying lie to you. Oh, I can't draw. No, don't do that. Draw. If that's what you want to do, draw. If you want to sing, just sing. If you want to be a mathematician, be a mathematician. My daughter's a whiz at math, and I'm looking at her like, how'd you do that? You know, like it's nothing. I'm still on 2 + 2 = 22.
Yeah, that's what I tell people. When we were in high school, we only were required to take basic math.
Yeah, so. But my kids, their math now is out there, man. And my kids, they can do a computer. My 10-year-old, I got a 10-year-old. She wants to do coding.
Ouch.
We didn't know nothing about that kind of stuff. She wants to do coding. She knew it. My other son's an animator. He was doing that at 9 years old. Everybody has a gift, brother. Follow your gift. Kids, follow what is in your heart. Don't let anybody tell you you cannot. Period. No one. Not mom, dad, anybody. Don't let anybody tell you you cannot do something that you know in your soul and your heart that you can. Go do it. The only person stopping you is you.
Yes. That's the other point that I'm glad that you brought it up and you're mentioning it. But that's what I told people. It's like, one, there's a role that the parents play up to a certain point, but there's a time when you become an adult, when you actually grow up enough and you're responsible for your own actions. You can't keep on blaming the neighborhood. You can't keep on blaming the circumstances or how you were brought up or anything like that. There's a point where you gotta be able to say, you know what? This is what I wanted. This is what I wanna do with my life. You know, and I usually expect them to at least do that when you become an adult. If you're blessed enough to actually do it before then, like you were saying, as a child, and you got the support of your parents, then that's pretty awesome. But some people don't. But there's a time where you actually got to become an adult and say, you know what? What is it that I got to do in order to actually get what I want to do, what I want to be? You know, what exactly is it required for me to actually follow my own dream? So thank you so much for your inspiration.
God bless you,
thank you,
my brother.
So much for your words. We need it quite often actually to hear that from other people. They actually managed to succeed and to do what you have done with your career. So really quick, so I would like you to mention and brag a little bit more about yourself. Tell us some of the accomplishments that you have done in your life that we haven't mentioned yet. Because you say you had a couple of more, you know, you played with a couple of more interesting people and you actually been in a couple of more bands.
My greatest accomplishment, honestly, is my children.
I knew you were gonna say that.
Yeah. Man, it's no better gift than when I was there when all my kids were born. I was there holding them. that look as a baby looks you in the eye. You got kids?
No.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, if you ever do, that look that you gave your mom in the beginning, your mom will never forget that. Your dad will never forget that. It's that one-on-one contact, that eyes, you holding your child in your hand and they look up at you and they smile. Even if they cry, you're like, wow, man. I don't care if you're the hardest gangbanger on the planet. A child is the greatest gift, and my biggest accomplishment is knowing that my kids are safe, they are loved, and they know how to give love. That's my biggest accomplishment. I watch them. They respect everybody, all nationalities, all humans, all people. And it makes me here stay alive. I had cancer. I don't know if you knew that.
No, sir.
Yeah, I had 3 surgeries. And I literally passed away 3 times. My caretaker told me this, that the doctor... One of the things that kept me alive, and I told the doctor, I gotta be here for my kids. You know, I have to be here. I have, after that cancer went into recession, I have bladder cancer. Now I have incurable lung cancer, but it's manageable. It's not dangerous. And I learned from my mother, who had cancer in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, yeah, before there was chemo. And my mom said, I'm not going anywhere until my youngest son, we have 4 boys, until my youngest son has children of his own. That was me. I had 2 kids and my mom passed 4 years after that. 30 something years of cancer on faith alone. Therefore, I passed that gift on to my children. I'm not going anywhere. Maybe that's why I had 9 kids, because now my youngest is 10. I got a long time to be here, brother. Because I said, I'm not going nowhere until my kids have kids of their own. And sure enough, God kept me here. And the machines were tripping out with me in the hospital. I was gone, dude, 3 times. 3 times, Saul. Wow. And this one, I'm not even worried about lungs. I'm not even worried about it. I'm here for a reason. You're here for a reason. And I'm going to be here for my kids. That's the best gift anybody could have. Even if you don't, you got nephews and nieces?
Absolutely.
That's what I'm talking about, brother.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It's like, for me, they're my biggest inspiration. Yeah. To say anybody who's younger than me, period.
Yeah.
They don't have to even be my blood, but I always think about the kids. I always think about them. It's not fair. They didn't ask to be born. Nobody asked them if they wanted to come into the planet in the first place. So for me, we as society, we owe them to them too. I should be better to do more. That's why it really bothers me. And I got to mention it. When you hear cases where kids are being abused,
I know.
Do not understand. How can you look at a kid's eyes and think about harming him?
I know.
I understand if you can actually, you know, give him for adoption. You can understand if you cannot put up with the kid.
I know.
And you just put him aside. I get it. But I don't see myself ever really torturing or hitting a kid right straight in the face because I don't have the patience.
Take away that smile from him.
Yeah.
It's horrible, man.
No, and one of the most painful things from my kid is that you can smack the kid and in 10 minutes later, he's smiling again and he's right next to you again.
And loving you.
Exactly. I cannot, I wouldn't be able to live with myself knowing that you just screwed up, that you did something so horrible and the kid is still right there for you.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it really hits me hard when you hear some of the news, people who actually abuse or torture their kids. I always tell people I do not want to be the officer who arrests them because I would end up in handcuffs myself.
But imagine God's punishment for that person who hurt their child, that is children.
Well, I think they get it here and they get it in the afterlife.
Exactly.
I think they get it in both because you can't be happy. It's impossible to actually be happy when you're harming people.
And you get it for all eternity. What you do now is what you carry with you.
I truly believe in both here and there. I truly believe what you plant is what you get. You know, if that's what you planted, that's what you're gonna get, and God forbid someday. And the other part, we all gonna get older, and I always feel for those people, because I truly believe that. My mother says that, you know what, people who die in pain, it's most likely because they must done something really horrible.
Mm-hmm.
We truly believe that when you're okay with the Lord above, you actually get a peaceful life, and you know, transition to the next life. And she, that's something that she believes. She said, you know what, people who end up 2-3 weeks in the hospital in pain, I only wonder what they have done in their life to deserve such a, you know, horrible death or such a prolonged death. So I do believe, yes, I do believe whatever you plan in life is what you get into the afterlife, but also here on earth, you might actually, you know, get a little bit of that just before you go.
But there is another point to what you just said. Sometimes people who die in pain, they will have no, they got good souls and good hearts. They won't have no more pain in the end. You know what I mean?
Amen.
Because Jesus was in pain on the cross. Look at him now. You know what I mean? He's doing quite well for himself.
I would say so.
I think he doesn't have to worry about a job for a long time. You know? So it could work both ways. I think people build their own hell here and their own heaven here. It starts here, brother. All you rich people out there, you're not taking that money with you.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you know what? Recently, I think we're going to have to cut it short soon, but one of the things that recently, they had to bring me down from that. I'm not rich, but I'm always in my business. I'm always in my normal activities. And when the pandemic hit, you know, just a couple of months back, you know, I was beginning to worry about, like, you know what? How am I going to pay the rent? How am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to pay the office? I'm going to lose everything. My friend literally pretty much put me on the side and said, stop it. You're alive. That's all you gotta know.
Bless
you. You are alive. You are alive. You are alive. And he just kept on saying it.
That's number
and
one.
That's all you need to worry about right now. All you need to worry about is about make sure that you're alive. Second, that you got food and you got a roof. We'll figure out the rest. And if we lose it, so be it. We can lose absolutely everything. But as long as you can breathe, as long as you have a meal and you can actually have a roof, you're blessed. You're good to go. You know, everything else will be all. If we have to start from scratch, we start from scratch. So be it. You know, but if you worry too much about the materialistic stuff or the artificial stuff, you're just going to get yourself a heart attack. You're going to end up, you know, getting a panic attack, you know, simply because you're so stressed out about the materialistic stuff. And none of that we take with us to the afterlife. And none of that is going to really matter when we're not here. You know, what really matters is the legacy that you leave behind. You know, the peace that you have within yourself. You know, be able to actually take a deep breath and have a smile and say, God bless, I got another day. Here's another day. You know, we close one day and we open the next one. And that's all we need to worry about, you know, right now and for life. And let's try not to lose that. I do aim for the highest. I do aim to actually accomplish everything that I can. But without losing that, without losing the humanity, without losing the essence of actually simply being another human being. Not think that we're superior there, or we're better, or that we're more than anybody else. We're
nobody's just superior, man. He is.
Amen. That's about it.
We're not going to get that close to being close to what he does.
I don't think I want the job either.
I don't want a job either, man. Too many prayers.
Yeah. You remind me of Bruce Almighty. Did you?
Yeah, exactly. He couldn't deal with all them prayers.
Yeah, like,
man.
I don't think none of us really want the job. He couldn't have
hear.
It.
He flipped out.
Well, thank you so much for being with us this minute. It's been a pleasure. It's been an honor having you. It's
been an honor being here, brother.
It really, you know, it comes across your spirit, your soul. You know, this was supposed to be about your music, but I think we ended up turning it more into a spiritual, into a motivational, you know, interview. And I thank you for that, because I think what we really need is that. It's not just the artificial part, not just the accomplishments, but also we all need a word of advice. We all need a word of wisdom. We all need someone to remind us to actually just be humans. So thank you so much for your time. Thank
God
you so
bless
much for,
you so.
God bless you too, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Business This Week on Radio Zolin, KIOJ 101.5 FM.
We got them blacks and browns to fear of the death. We got them broadcasting our very last breath. We got them spreading epidemic lies to terrorize the falsely accused victims. All for political cash prize. And who's the demise? I'm seeing bloodshed in apocalyptic skies. I'm seeing the wise criminalized, betrayed, despised, disguised. So how do I know that there is
freedom? Do no right from wrong.